With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
NBA draft week has finally arrived.
Before you go on your little tirade about the baseball stuff, what's torching your keister? I think that's something that we need to have, like, as we
go. Said torching,
what's,
right?
What's torching your keister? Because that's what upsets you,
MLB
right?
umpires.
Yeah, what upsets Carmen DeFalco?
First of all, that I don't know what's more criminal, the pasta at Olive Garden or the fact that this union still allows Angel Hernandez to have the plate at games. He can't do his job. He's terrible at it.
He's not good at it. He's bad.
He's terrible.
He's bad.
You know, but they just keep running him out there and protecting him. Today in the Bronx, Hunter Wendelstedt.
Who's Wendelstedt? The father's offspring, right? Wendelstedt's the offspring of a guy that was a major league umpire.
Was it not Harry? What was the
no? It wasn't Harry. But either way, he had an old man that was a major league baseball umpire, and it seems that it's nepotism.
Of course,
it just keeps coming down. If what you come from the fruits of the loin of an umpire or an official like Hockley, you automatically just become one, and you get to go to the top of the ranks, no matter how good you are.
What I don't know, I can't remember the old man's name.
Tank,
but you're right,
Wendelstedt, something like that.
It wasn't Tank, I don't think. Today, they're playing a day game in the Bronx.
Right.
He threw Aaron Boone out because a Yankee fan in the first row was yelling at Hunter Wendelstedt.
Yeah.
And the other dumb thing is baseball probably has some dumb rule, or the umpires have some dumb rule, that allows the home plate umpire to throw the manager out in circumstances where they feel like the fan is being unruly. Watch some dumb rule be on the book. He turns the fan behind the first row is yelling, and Hunter Wendelstedt turns, he throws out Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone says, it wasn't me. They're pointing at the guy. You see it clear as day on the video. And he throws, and he goes, and then Hunter Wendelstedt says, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You're out anyway. Dopey. Come on.
And his father's name was Harry.
Yeah, the Harry. So that's what I thought. Harry.
He got booted.
I mean, can you imagine you get thrown out, the fan behind you is yelling, and you're the manager?
You get booted.
And
at that point, you don't leave. At that point,
I'd be furious.
I become a pain in the ass.
Stupid.
And I'd say, make me leave. You make me leave. You physically make me leave. If I'm Aaron Boone. Go ahead. I dare you.
Dumb.
I dare you, little chunkinator. I dare you.
I mean, really, like, come on.
Ridiculous.
And the umpires, they stink in baseball anyway.
They're terrible.
And that's a hard job. I get it. Calling balls and strikes
is
a hard job.
They stink. They stink.
They stink at it. They
it's
need
the
an automated strike zone.
It's the worst part of baseball.
They stink at it.
Besides being on the White Sox. It's the worst part of baseball.
And I'll even cut them some slack because that's a hard job. The way pitchers throw today, the velocity, the kind of break, the things they make the ball do, that's not an easy job. It's why enough already.
Yeah.
Enough. You can't. It's not 1910.
Have you ever watched wiffle ball?
You can't. They stink at it.
Have you ever watched
wiffle ball? Have an automated strike zone.
Have you ever watched wiffle ball?
I have.
You see the highlights of wiffle ball where they're bringing the pitch, and as long as it hits the rectangle, it's strike.
Yeah.
No matter where it goes, you'd be better off with that system.
You probably would.
You'd be better off with that system, what they do in wiffle ball, than having the likes of a Hunter Wendelstedt. Who's the other
Angel
idiot?
Hernandez.
Angel
the
Hernandez.
Worst.
Laz Diaz.
The worst.
Laz Diaz is horrendous, too.
I mean, Angel Hernandez, it's a blooper reel after every game he's got the play.
Yeah,
John Boy Media puts it, there's a bunch of, like, their social media sites dedicated to it.
Yeah.
To how terrible he is.
Loved him on the Waltons. John Boy. John Boy Media. Loved
him.
John.
I think it's John Boy. John Boy. Right? Is it a J-O-M? It's John Boy.
You got to enunciate that, Carl.
Sorry, John.
John Boy.
I believe it's John Boy Media.
Yeah,
they're
not
great.
Bad. But the point is the umpires stink.
They stink.
They stink in baseball.
It's just
Do you ever go hard after a Little League umpire?
No, because it's Little League.
And they're kids. They're trying to develop, these umpires to be good. You ever go hard at one? What
Never.
If he clearly blows a call?
No,
I mean, you say,
I mean, you might say blue.
Come on.
Or you ask where it is.
Hey,
or,
not for nothing. I mean, but geez, he slid into the tag, you know? Come on now.
By 5 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard, I get it. It's a hard job. Okay. So I got here. You want to make it easier? Don't have them call balls and strikes. They can't do it anyway.
They're terrible at it.
And watch, I'm telling you, you're going to find out after the game there's some dumb rule that says the umpire can throw the manager out for the idiot
fan
behind the dugout heckling the umpire. You
watch. Probably some Bowie Kuhn put in there. What is his name? Bowie Kuhn,
yeah.
Bowie Kuhn probably put it in there.
Stupid.
That guy's an idiot, too. That guy there is dead, Carm. Cross him off.
Paulie's in Palm Beach. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Paulie, how are you?
Hanging with a guy yesterday who does AI development. He says he can develop an AI robot pitcher, and we can stop going with these two inning starts and seven pitchers a game. We haven't figured out how you're going to be able to play defense or with the bunting, but he can make it so you can throw to first. Anyway, I didn't call for that reason. The Bears, all right?
Yes.
I'm Washington's GM. You're Poles. I'm calling you up. I'll swap you first rounders. I'll give you my 36th, my 40th for this year, my first pick, my first rounder next year.
No.
And you can have a stud lineman, defensive or offensive, on my team. And I propose this not because I don't think Caleb Williams is the best. I propose this that I contend if you use that first pick with the wealth of talent available this year for quarterbacks, linemen, and receivers, that you are not optimizing that first pick by using it. I don't care if Williams is the best ever. You can build a team with all those picks. You can get linemen. You can get whatever you need with that. And you'll get second, third, fourth. Any of these guys that need a quarterback would jump up for any of these four quarterbacks. Why not take the second best one, in your opinion, and build up the rest of the team?
Well, all right, we can. Thanks, Paulie. Paulie wants you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Hall.
I thought we had retired.
I'm so glad the draft is Thursday. I'm so glad to be done with this. It was fun. It's been great. We've had some fun. We got a little bell. It's been great.
I'm not sure any amount of draft picks equals now Caleb's got to be great for this to happen. Do you think Andy Reid and Brett Veach and the Chiefs would have been like, if you presented this scenario to them, like knowing what Mahomes is, like, oh, but we would have given you, there's no amount of first round picks they take in favor of Patrick Mahomes again. I should be careful to say like Caleb's got to be great, but like if you believe he is, there's no amount of draft picks that are equal to a great quarterback.
I got to put common sense to it too. The two second rounders would equal much more than the disparity between the first and the second pick.
That's true.
So they would already be paying a premium just giving him the 2 second rounders. Just so we have some, some common sense. My point is,
you're right.
They would be paying a premium with both second rounders, much less the first next year.
It'd be like a ridiculous premium.
Right. So, I mean, even if they just said, we'll move back one, we'll give you our first next year, that first next year is also paying a massive premium on the position and the ability to move up just one spot.
Now, I suppose from Washington's standpoint, like, again, if Caleb's going to be great, like, you'd say, well, they would do it because you believe that much in a great quarterback.
But that would be then a disbelief in everybody else. There would be a disbelief in Daniels. There would be a disbelief. And I haven't seen any disbelief out there either. Common sense will tell you, if you look at the history of drafting quarterbacks, that not every first-round quarterback is going to hit. So common sense tells you, hey, you got to get the right one. You pray to God, you cross yourself and say, I think this happened. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get that guy.
Yeah.
But you're paying a premium already with the two. Nobody's going to do anything ridiculous unless they're coming from way back. And they want to jump up there.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
I think the great quarterback is so important. And if you have that, it's a lot easier to build your team. It's not as easy to say, well, we've got a bunch of picks and we can address the line and we can do this, that. But we've got just an average quarterback. The average quarterback, even with a great team around him, might end up sinking you. That's why I don't think that scenario is in play. And it's not something I would do. Billy's on I-55. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. Good show. Hey. You know, it seems like everybody's talking about the wide receivers or an edge rusher. After Joe Alt, who's the next best left tackle that's on the board?
Probably Fashanu. Probably Fashanu.
That the kid from Alabama or something?
No, he's from Penn State, excuse me. J.C. Latham's from Alabama.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't you think, I mean, and I know our left tackle's good, but what about a left tackle? And now you got bookends at both positions, right and left, for a decade, you know, barring injury, naturally.
Yeah.
And then you got more depth. You know, I don't know. I would really look at the left tackle. Williams, he's got to be able to get time to throw the ball.
Yeah.
I don't hear any talk. I hope Poles stays at 9 and takes the left tackle, unless he gets a super deal to trade down and can still get a good left tackle or maybe a center they need or something like that.
Yeah. Well, right. Thanks, Billy. Yeah. I don't think it's totally off the board.
Right now, Tankathon's got their mock draft. They've got Olu Fashanu going 13th. They got Taliese Fuaga going 14th. They've got J.C. Latham going 18th to Cincinnati.
A lot of tackles, man.
Troy Fautanu to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. And one more, Amarius Mims to the Dallas Cowboys offensive tackle. And last guy, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma going 30th.
Remember we counted the offensive players, right? Like 22 potentially.
22 offensive players.
Just going off the mocks and stuff like that. It's wild. Jay's on the north side. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Just hearing the Black Baker Mayfield comment got me kind of thinking, what would be an appropriate comparison that Bears fans would feel acceptable about given Caleb Williams? Is it Warren Moon? Is it Brett Favre? Or are we simply just looking to do better than McMahon or Trent Dilfer, win a Super Bowl and manage it? So when this is all said and done, you know, hopefully 13, 14 years down the road, what can we hope? You know, what are we hoping for? Obviously, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes would be wonderful, but what would be acceptable?
Good question, Jay. If I told you he was Philip Rivers,
but if I told you it was Kirk Cousins,
I'd be wanting a little more.
In what area? What?
I don't think Cousins is as great as his numbers are, and he's going to have great career numbers, and he's thrown for 4,000 yards a bunch, and he actually was terrific before he got hurt this year, probably in the MVP conversation for the first half of the season. To me, Kirk Cousins is probably a little is in that group that I think is a little bit short in terms of not vertically in terms of carrying a team to multiple playoff appearances and deep playoff runs in a Super Bowl. Like, I don't think he's that good. Now Philip Rivers never did that either, but I think Philip Rivers is a better quarterback. I don't know if you agree or disagree. I think Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Like, what if we look back and we said, Caleb Williams' career, he was Philip Rivers. Would that be okay?
I'm trying here is 7 4,000 yard seasons, 3 seasons with 30 plus touchdowns.
Wow!
And he's got a 98 career QB ranking.
Stuff the Bears have never had.
Right, QB ranking of 98 for his career. Now I'm going to go to Philip Rivers. I know how good Philip is. You know, I don't need anybody to tell me that Philip Rivers is good. Was Philip Rivers better than Kirk Cousins? Yes.
I agree with you.
I think he is a better quarterback than our guy is. And I'm just looking at the QB rating just to see where that
I bet
puts
it's
him. 95-1.
95-1.
So a little bit less.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's some black numbers here, you know, in bold. Mm-hmm. So that means he was leading the league in something over the course of a lifetime. So those are there. And he's got a lot more years at the quarterback position. So I'm assuming he's thrown for 30-plus touchdowns more than our guy did, but not for a lot. His career high is only 34 touchdowns.
Okay.
You know, in an offensive era,
sure,
it was 34 touchdowns. But, of course, they had LaDainian early in his career, and then they got Eckler. So, you know, they had guys they loved to hand the ball off, and they had guys rushing the ball, and then not necessarily had to pass the ball in. But he's got 4,000 yards all over the yard. I mean, it's continuous.
Year.
It's over and over and over and over again.
12 straight years.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous. Philip Rivers. If he was Philip Rivers, would I be happy? Yes.
I think so, right?
More than Kirk Cousins, yes. Philip Rivers, yes.
Let us know your comp. Who would be good enough? 312-332-3776. Plus, the Bulls seem to be at another crossroads. We'll talk about the disappointment that was Friday night and how they might attack this offseason. So if you want to talk Bulls, NFL draft with us, ring us up. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2:30 today. They're on till 6, then it's White Sox and Twins to 4-game series. You can watch us on YouTube. We have our own channel. Just search at Carmen and Yurko. Like and subscribe. YouTube and Twitch all this week brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the number one pick for wings, beer, and sports.
I love quarterback stats when you go looking through them.
Do you?
You know what you know when you know it. You know, when you see it, you know it.
Say that again?
You know what you know when you know
That's good.
Okay? It's true. You know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
See a quarterback, you can figure out whether he knows it or not.
Yes.
Whether he can sling that football all over the place.
Yes.
And Phillip Rivers could. He didn't look like he slinged it. He never slang it. He shot putted that ball over the place.
Yeah, it was a weird release, man.
If you had told me coming out that this guy was going to be a stud the way he threw that ball, I'd have said, no way.
Pretty damn good,
though. No way, which is why I'm not a college scout. I'm not a pro scout.
But I bet a lot of people would have been scared off by that.
Yeah,
he just found a way to still make it work. It was weird. It was a goofy release, goofy motion. And then other guys have had clean motions, and they haven't
been
nearly as good.
And they can't do crap.
So, right, you know, it's...
I give you the name Paxton Lynch.
Jeez.
Remember him?
That was brutal.
I thought he was going to be a star. Big, tall fella, rangy.
Brutal.
I thought he could put the pill wherever he needed to. Nope, he
couldn't do that.
I was wrong on Paxton Lynch.
Patrick's in Downers Grove. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. I didn't know this was all calls Friday. There were some weird calls earlier.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, you got a guy getting his brain beat by Field Yates' blue chew. So,
yeah, 8 of them. 20 of them.
But, yeah, on a serious note, I just want your guys' opinion on I'm going to mess it up and Abdallah's going to.
Latu.
He already corrected me. Latu. UCLA, your concern is about his health?
Yep.
Because apparently he's supposed to be the best overall rated player, defensively, I mean. Except his health. Also, obviously we're not going to get Penix Jr., but I just wanted your opinion, just based on his injury history.
There's another one.
Like you just mentioned, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
He didn't need knees to throw the ball.
Right. Those are two good examples of guys that have definite medical red flags.
I pass on.
Latu?
Yeah, because of the medicals.
If you heard Field Yates with us about an hour ago, he thinks he is the best defensive player in the class, but the medical thing is real.
I do. 20 years ago, he wouldn't have been drafted. Remember when a knee injury was the deathbed? You or the death knell. You were not going to get drafted if you had an ACL injury. That stopped with the running back out of Miami, Florida.
It was Willis McGahee?
McGahee.
Right?
That stopped with McGahee when he tore his knee to shreds at the
Bowl
game. Yeah, it was the bowl game against Ohio State. Remember?
It was against
Ohio State. When he tore that, I go, there's no way in hell he's still going to get, and Drew Rosenhaus say he's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted in the first round. I'd be hot damned if he didn't end up getting drafted in the first round.
Yep.
The other kid was a Notre Dame kid. That went and had the horrific ankle injury.
Miles Jack, are you thinking? That wasn't an ankle.
No. I'm thinking about the
not Miles Jack. Miles Jack was UCLA.
Dallas drafted him. They took him in the second round. Remember? And he played for about 6-7 years.
What position?
He was a linebacker for Notre Dame.
Oh, it's I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't pull his name right now, too. He's number 7. He wore number 7 with the Fighting Irish. But either way, his foot, he ended up dropping to the second round. He came back and he played for an extended period of time, but was never the player he was when he was in college, but was still a pretty darn good NFL player, but only for a limited time before I think he couldn't play anymore.
Why can't I think of his name?
I can't think of his name. I'm looking at it. It's not Jones. It's a J. There's a J in there.
There's a J. The Twitch chat, I guarantee it.
Yeah, they're probably jumping all over it.
Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith. Thank you.
There you go. We knew it was a J.
So, I mean, there's a guy that probably 20 years ago, he wouldn't have gotten drafted either. They said, no way in hell. Look at that injury. Mm-hmm. Ankles backwards. That's not going to bode well for him.
John's in Charlotte. What's up, John?
What's up, boys? I got a question for you. So, if Caleb ended up being
Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston. Let's say Baker because he's the higher. We'll say Baker. Okay. If he ended up being Baker, how would you feel?
I would feel a little unsatisfied.
I'd be unsatisfied also.
Like Teddy KGB.
Jameis Winston threw for 30 touchdowns.
I know.
He threw for 5,000 yards. You know, everybody said, oh, Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that, when he went to Tampa. Tampa was ready to win.
Yes.
Tampa had a talented roster.
Yes, very much so.
Tampa wasn't somebody that was just a reclamation project, and Tom Brady came in. That was an offense that was set to fly and had flown the year before, but kept dropping out of the sky because of the interceptions that were being thrown.
Yes.
The reason Brady made that thing happen and made that thing work in Tampa was because he could get rid of the ball quick, and he wouldn't throw interceptions.
Yep. Amen. And he had a good coach
already. For
anybody
that said, oh, my God, he came in, he just changed the – he didn't change crap. That team was ready to
fly. Well, they won 9 games the year before, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they won 9.
Yeah, two in overtime. 2 losses in overtime.
Yeah, they had lost a bunch of close games. Yeah, I would want more, though, than Baker. I want more than Jameis. I mean, like, I'm hoping this is finally the Bears – you know, the answer for the Bears. The answer for all of us that are Bears fans that have gone our whole lives without seeing a true franchise quarterback. Time will tell. Time will tell what the Bulls are going to do on their offseason, Yerk. Boy, Friday was ugly, wasn't it? Sweet. I mean, anytime, listen to this, Yerk. Take a listen.
Robinson, the lob, Adebayo, the slam. Richard, this will be the 7th playoff series between Miami and Boston since 2010. Most common playoff matchup in that span. It'll be the 3rd straight season they're meeting. And the 4th time in the last 5 years that the Heat and the Celtics will link in the playoffs.
Well, now, and look, that goes back to the LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, those epic battles that the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics had. And it's not surprising to me that the Miami Heat, even with the injuries, have found a way to grind out a playoff spot if this score continues.
If the score continues?
I think the score might continue.
Yeah, I think it's, at this point, you can feel reasonably confident about that.
Richard Jefferson, Ryan Rucco, 7 minutes to go in the game. 7! And they're on to...
Yeah, it's over.
The Heat and the Celtics.
34-17, this wasn't even a ball game from the jump. That was your score at the end of the first quarter, 34-17. Now, give the Bulls a little bit credit. They knock it down to 10 going into halftime. But at that point, it doesn't matter. And what did I ask for? 15 of 35, right?
Yeah, they did
not hit
that.
15 of 35.
Yeah, you did.
They got 15. Problem was it took 43 shots.
No, they got 13.
Yeah, was it 13 or 15? I thought it was 15.
13.
You sure?
I'm almost positive, unless I looked at the box score wrong.
I checked it out the other day.
I'll double check.
I don't have it in front of me, Carmen.
I wrote down 13 to 34.
These are all the stats that I looked at, and I said to myself, oh, boy.
The Bulls.
That's why things go bad. Well, when things go bad, they're not good. Remember that.
They were held to fewer than 25 points in each of the first 3 quarters. Yep. Do you realize that? They were 13 of 43, 30% from distance.
I asked for 15 of 35. You can't even give me that. You took 8 more shots and made 2 less than I demanded.
Kobe really cooled off. He had just 13.
It happens.
If it was 7 minutes to go, the game's over.
This is breaking news. Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Is it football?
It is football.
Yeah. Is there a trade to kick off the week?
Football. There's a football trade.
There is.
Oh, man. I'm being sick, that voice.
I like that voice.
There's a new quarterback in Denver, according to Tom Pelissero and others. The Jets are trading former 2nd overall pick Zach Wilson to the Broncos. Denver's getting a 2024 6th round pick and a 2024 7th round pick.
So they're getting
the player and
the player.
No, they're sending.
They're sending.
Yeah, sending.
Okay. They're sending a 6th and a 7th rounder.
Yeah.
To Denver.
No, to New York.
To New York.
So Zach Wilson, boy, you know, you kind of forgot as this offseason went along.
For a 6th and a 7th they traded him for.
Yeah. For the former 2nd overall pick. You sort of forgot about Zach Wilson just being in limbo. I'm a little surprised
more value than Justin Fields.
Well, Justin could technically still go for a 4th.
I understand, but right now on paper, a 6th and a 7th.
Yeah. Zach Wilson is not better than Justin Fields.
I agree with.
I'm a little surprised. So what does this mean, you guys? Do you think it takes Denver out of play for doing something bold to get a quarterback? Or No, not really.
I still think they need to upgrade at the quarterback position.
Oh, I think absolutely. No amount of Sean Payton genius is going to save Zach Wilson. Sorry.
But he might see something he likes.
Jeez.
You know, he is the quarterback guru.
I know, but and I'm not. But I'll tell you, Zach Wilson stinks.
And what if he turns him into something?
That would be amazing. Amazing. That's what that would be.
What if he gets that awkward little pearl and he gets him out in Denver and puts a nice chamois on him and all of a sudden he becomes a decent NFL quarterback?
That would be remarkable.
Huh?
That'd be a testament to Sean.
Eastern Illinois.
That'd be remarkable.
The real directional university in the city of Chicago. I mean, in the state of Illinois. The real directional school.
The only directional school that matters. Eastern Illinois. That would be amazing. All right, so we've got a trade. It is Zach Wilson, who, again, you know, as the offseason went on, you just sort of kind of forgot. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's the one who didn't get traded because who would want him and he's that bad. But, you know, all right, so they take a chance in Denver.
Breaking news is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, home of the 60-minute guarantee.
Thank you very kindly.
The Advantage Dealer Group.
312-332-3776. Ring us up. We're going to do the lunch rush coming up. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
We're going to lunch rush it here in a minute. The only positive to come out of this bowl season really was Coby White. Maybe Iowa a little, but, you know, Coby really had a nice year. I know he struggled Friday night. He is a finalist for most improved. It's he and Shengun, and this is a weird sort of, not rant, I wouldn't call it a rant, but like a weird, that's just one of my weird quirks. Stuff like this sort of bothers me sometimes. How is Tyrese Maxey, like, most improved? Tyrese Maxey averaged 20 a game last year. Like, we knew Tyrese Maxey was pretty good a year ago. He shot 43% from three last year. Like, he upped his scoring average in the absence of Embiid for a lot of the year.
Right.
He took about five more shots a game. He upped his scoring average by about 22%. Coby White upped his scoring average by 50%. Now, he, too, took more shots. He took about five and a half more shots.
But it went from what to what compared to what?
Coby went from, like, 9 points a game to almost 20 points a game.
Okay. And Maxey went?
He went from, like, 20, just shy of 21 a game to 25 a game.
Well,
it was about 20%, 22%.
Some would say his five-point improvement was more difficult than the improvement made from nine to what you would call.
I guess.
Yeah.
But we knew Tyrese Maxey was really good last year. That's my point.
Can good players not improve?
All right, fair enough.
Because
I guess I didn't think of it that way.
If that's the way you're looking at it, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be in the conversation too.
Well, and see, I would say no way. We knew he was awesome a year ago.
Was he an MVP a year ago?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why these things are weird. I think we're done. Like, I think Chris and I are saying the same thing while we're saying different things.
Right.
Like, he's right. Why the hell would you? SGA not be on there? We knew Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was awesome a year ago.
He wasn't an MVP a year
ago. That's true.
Though.
He's even more awesome.
It's the one word. It's the one award you never want to win 2 years in a row.
Oh, that's for damn
sure.
It's
how bad was I? How bad was I that I won the most?
I don't know.
Twice.
It's like a weird quirk in my mind. Yeah. I guess I'm like Tyrese Maxey, most improved. We knew he was terrific last year. But all right, I hope Coby
had the highest jump in points per game.
Yeah, Coby did. Yeah. But like Yurko said, I guess if you go from nine to 20
is a great market improvement. There's no gray
area. 20 to 25.
But I'd say 20 to 25 is a more difficult improvement.
You might be right. I don't know. Who cares?
I mean, just trying to look at
stupid Bulls. I mean,
just the way to look at it.
You know, what the hell are they going to do? What are they going to do?
I think they're going to do different things. They're not going to stand pat this year.
Coming up during the 2 o'clock hour, like maybe around 2:15 before Crosstalk, we'll play a little AK sound because he met the media over the weekend. Let's lunch rush it right now. We love the lunch rush.
Let's do it. I got to set up the cameras real quick because you can watch us on YouTube and Twitch. It's brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the number one pick for wings, beer, and sports. Some clarification now that Tom Pelissero edited his tweet. It's all coming out too. Denver is sending a 2024 sixth round pick to New York for Wilson and a 2024 seventh.
All right, so they've got to send a pick back with Wilson. Yes. So it is kind of like the Fields comp.
New York is also going to pay some of the $5.5 million.
Okay.
To him.
So Zach Wilson has been traded to Denver Broncos.
Okay. And according to Diana Rossini, the Broncos are still going to do their homework on all the other quarterbacks that could be available to them in the first round.
I would think, you know, that should not prevent them from attacking the quarterback position because they don't have one.
It's a little late to do the homework, no?
Well, yeah, continue. Listen.
Hopefully they were doing the homework since January.
They're going to do their homework.
Guys, the test's not till Thursday, okay?
Jeez. That's right.
You talk about crashing.
The test is not until Thursday, okay? There's still 3 days left, all right?
That's awesome.
Adam Schefter put this out on ESPN.com today, his notes heading into the draft, and there is an interesting one that could involve the Bears. There is supposed to be a resolution on the alleged tampering that the Falcons did with Kirk Cousins, and it's supposed to be more severe than what the Dolphins got.
Really?
And the Dolphins forfeited their 2023 first-round pick and a 2024 third-round selection.
Right.
Oh. So, if the Falcons have to forfeit their first-round pick,
the Bears would be the eighth overall,
then the Bears would move up to number eight.
Basically, they would be picking eighth.
Yeah.
You know, although I don't think they actually, like, don't they? They just vacate that spot. They would, like, stay in the ninth slot, but you'd be taking the eighth player.
It's one less player off the board.
You're taking the eighth player
for the Bears. And Dallas Turner has been rumored to Atlanta for months, it seems like.
So when do we get word on that?
Schefter says this week.
Wow.
Conclusion as early as this week per sources.
Boy, the Bears have to be sitting around in Hallis. You know, let's hope that happens. It's on.
Help them get Romy.
Shane Norling, producer of Cap'n J-Hood, had an interesting point. It would be easier to move up if you wanted to move up because it's technically less spots.
Less spots. So somebody jumps in. You know what, though? At the end of the day, it might not matter in terms of the volume that's there for the Bears anyway, right? Like, it could only... Doesn't it only help them if that's the case to have one of the two receivers there, don't you think?
Yep.
Or am I looking at that wrong? I mean,
you're looking at it right.
I think so.
What if Joe Alt's available there?
I don't know that Joe Alt's getting past seven.
What if nobody takes Joe Alt?
The Bears have some serious contemplating to do.
They've got some contemplation.
If nobody takes Joe Alt before nine or before eight, potentially. That's an interesting tidbit. What else, Adam?
He had some notes on the Bears here. When Caleb Williams visited Chicago in early April, the Bears did something smart. Rather than have Williams go to dinner with their front office and coaches, they sent him to dinner with teammates. We know Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, TJ Edwards, and others were there.
Sweet.
The thinking was those are some of the team's most respected players and the players whom others listen to, and this group then would be able to tell other players what they were getting in Williams, who is going to be the number one overall pick.
See, the reports continue to come back that he's likable.
Mm-hmm.
That his attitude is good. He's handled himself quite well, and I think it probably is smart the way the Bears handled
that. Dude.
None of it's going to matter at the end of the day if you can't help him along, if you can't develop him right. None of it's going to matter. He's going to have to be great. Like,
there's reports of the contract negotiations happening already.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
It shouldn't be too much of a problem. The offset's the only thing.
They're not selling jerseys yet.
They will be.
I don't think technically.
They will be. Come Friday.
I'm telling you, be on the lookout. On the lookout after this week for Hard Knocks news. I think.
Oh, Carm's breaking news again.
Sounder?
Give me the sounder. You want the sounder,
no?
Carm?
I wouldn't go that far, but I've heard now from two
very reliable sources.
Dude, stop following me.
What?
Did that guy tell you?
Stop following me.
That guy did not tell me. I've heard, like, from inside the building and outside of it.
Both places.
What about on top of the building? Anybody on top of the building telling you?
No, not on top. Not on Jersey's helicopter
pad. Somebody working on the sewers underneath?
I would say, no, not underneath either. inside and outside. The feeling, I'm just telling you from what I've heard from two different people.
It's a feeling.
The feeling around the league is, and I'm talking about people very much connected in this league. Like, again, the league. In the building and then someone very much connected to the league.
In the league.
That they feel like the Bears will be the Hard Knocks team. In the past, it was conveyed to me that in the past, they have very much respected George McCaskey's wishes.
But now...
But no longer. They will no longer respect
Chris, they were basically like, George,
you're
tough.
Doing it, George.
Like, you're the you're up and coming. You're the Bears.
Yeah.
You're one of the candidates, and you've got Caleb Williams.
Your
like,
coach had a hell of a glow up.
They're basically, like, from what I heard, they're basically telling, like, George, this time, like, George, listen...
Just get it out of the way.
You're going to do it. Like, and I'm hearing it is very much like it felt around the league that the Bears are going to be the Hard Knocks.
We need to be inside.
You thought
that.
The jockeying for position to go to London was bad.
Oh boy,
you guys fighting over who's going to be on Hard Knocks.
I'm jockeying for London. Yeah,
it's
going to
be a boy fight.
Who's on Hard Knocks?
There will definitely be a boy fight.
I don't want to go in. I don't care about Hard Knocks. I want to go to London. London's calling.
Cap's going
to
be getting Manny Petties with Caleb.
Good, let him go. I don't care. I want to go. I'm jockeying for London, and that's it. So let's be on the lookout in the coming weeks for that. And I don't know when they'll announce that, if they're going to do that around the schedule or sometime after. I've heard
Carmen's
from a couple of people.
For London. He wants London.
They definitely feel like the Bears are going to be there. I think the Bears kind of sense it, so... We'll see.
Sylvie's going to say he already knows Caleb.
Well, listen, Yeah. Sylvie wrote about it in his column a couple of weeks ago. Sylvie wrote about the Bears and Hard Knocks.
You freaked him out.
That Sylvie thinks he was just writing that he thinks it'd be great, that they should embrace it if indeed it happens.
Mm.
What else, Adam?
Bears general manager Ryan Poles is going to meet the media tomorrow. Monty Austinfort of the Arizona Cardinals met the media today and said that the number four pick they are open for business.
Right.
The number four pick is for sale, but don't expect any deals until the Cardinals are on the clock.
Like he wants to know what's available. That's the way it is sounded here.
Yeah.
Building up to all this, and I guess like Adam just said, he's even reiterating that now. He's publicly saying it. Like, they want to see what's available. I think they know, though, don't they? I mean, they know Marvin's going to be there if they want him. Field said he thinks they're going to still stay and draft Marvin Harrison, that the fun stuff really starts around 5. Field Yates joined us earlier. If you missed it, go to our YouTube page. Make sure you follow our YouTube channel, the Carmen and Yurko channel. Just search at Carmen and Yurko. Like and subscribe, and you'll get all the videos. The video with our conversation with Field will be up later. Anything else, Adam?
Jeff Howe of the Athletic wrote what he is hearing from executives and coaches about the wide receivers and the smoke that Malik Nabers could be going ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's all the cliches that you get from executives and coaches. Why not run at the combine? One coach said, competitors compete. An executive added said there's so much unknown with the way he handled the process. It's an incomplete picture, at least from a comfort standpoint.
Interesting.
So did he hurt himself by not doing anything at the combine or a pro day or anything like that?
I don't know. Part of it feels like you're overthinking it almost, right?
Yep.
You're letting the noise get to you a little bit. Although I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you told me 3 years from now, Nabers, Adunze, or Marvin, and if any one of the three, I think you could look at it 3 years and be like, that's the best player from that draft. That's the best wide receiver from that draft. I think all three are that good.
Here's what they said about Rome Adunze. He's a gazelle. He's a freaking stud of a human.
I love him.
About Rome Adunze.
I've loved him for months.
Stud of a human.
Months and months. I love the ability to contest and be physical and come down with the ball and the route running and the physicality.
Stud.
And the, I love him. I absolutely love Rome Adunze.
And you mentioned Kobe White. Did you mention DeMar DeRozan? Clutch player of the year.
Yeah, congrats.
Clutch player
nominated
of the year.
For clutch player
clutch
of the
player
year.
Of the year. Right. Clutch.
Clutch He's player of the year. They're not in the playoffs.
Steph Curry and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Two of the players that are nominated aren't in the playoffs.
Regular season award.
How clutch were you?
Regular season
called him Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
I think he said Shane Gilgeous.
Shane Gilgeous, yeah.
I think you called him Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
You did.
Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's right. Just call him SGA.
Making sandwiches at night.
That's right. Congrats to DeMar for being a finalist for the clutch player. It's Carmen and York. That's the Lunch Rush. Players of the Weekend next.
Follow
Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Let's talk about our Players of the Weekend, brought to you by the Marquee Network, where you can watch Cubs baseball. A somewhat disappointing split against the Marlins. We'll talk to Jesse Rogers tomorrow, get the full baseball update. Let's talk about the weekend, though. Here's something interesting. 14 NBA and NHL playoff games this weekend, right? You're 14.
Yes, 14 of them.
Kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah.
All that going on. How many of the home teams won? 14 across both leagues.
14 across
both
leagues.
There were 14 games.
I would say seven. Seven home teams won.
All 14.
All 14?
All 14 NBA and NHL home playoff teams won.
Wow.
This weekend.
That's home court advantage. Or home,
or home ice advantage.
Home ice advantage.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
That's 14 of 14.
I also saw, I think it was Chris Kampka, stats man extraordinaire, over the weekend tweet that I think on Friday, or it might have been Saturday, I think one of the days this weekend was the 12-year anniversary of the last time the Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks all won on the same day, Yerk. It's been 12 years.
12 years?
You believe that? Holy cow. 12 years. Anyway, let's talk about our players from the weekend. I got a couple of guys I'm thinking about nominating. I'm going to see how this goes with the rest of our crew. It's again brought to you by the Marquee Network. Who do you like from the weekend, Yerk? Someone from El Clasico?
There's two. I mean, Jude Bellingham, obviously, with a beautiful game winner right there at the end. He slotted up at the top of the net. Michael Jordan, he gets his first victory as a team owner with Tyler Reddick crossing the line down in beautiful Talladega, Alabama.
Saw that.
But I'm going to have to go with him. It's my first back-to-back player of the week ever. I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler.
Wow.
He's the first guy to ever win the Masters and the RBC in this, you know,
back to back.
So, yeah, you got to give it to him. He went over on a par five early and he had to land a chip right next to the bunker to be able to get it to Kareem and go left. You got to give all the credit in the world to what he's being able to do right now in golf.
He's a ball striking machine.
Stifler, my guy Stifler, Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler, all right.
My player of the week.
I'm going to go with Damian Lillard, 35.
That was one of my guys, Adam.
First half points, 0 second half points. They didn't really need them. They were up like 69 to 42, I believe, at halftime. So they didn't really need him in the second half, but it was the second highest point total in the first half in the last 25 years. Kevin Durant had 38.
And without Giannis and the fact that the Pacers...
They were a one-point dog at home,
too. I was going to say, they're a dog in the game and in the series, Adam. And I thought that he was one of my nominations. I wrote him down. Look, Dame is so bad defensively. Even when he has a 35-point game, he's going to be a minus because he can't guard anybody. But I thought what he did in that first half helped set the tone. They got the game they needed. Just to kind of maybe, just to feel better about themselves without Giannis and extend this thing until Giannis can get back. I think that's an excellent call for a player of the weekend. Chris, who you got?
Give me Anthony Edwards from Saturday night as the Timberwolves beat the Suns 120-95. Edwards had 33, and he was talking mad trash to Kevin Durant. I love it.
He loves talking trash. The edge on Ant-Man. Yeah, that was everything was really a blowout except the last game last night in the NBA. That turned out to be the good one. The Pels OKC finish was very, very good. And that building, man, do they support that team in OKC, Yurko? That building was electric.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
It was rocking. That was the only really good game of the weekend. I will go, much like Damian Lillard doing it without his running mate, without Giannis on the floor, no Kawhi. Who the hell ever knows what's going on with Kawhi Leonard? No Kawhi, no problem. I'm going to go with James Harden. 28 points, 8 assists, only one turnover in the game. Now, James Harden is just as likely to go 4-for-18 tomorrow or whenever they play game two, and shoot 32% for the rest of the series. And, you know, I don't know what to predict. It's impossible to predict James Harden. But there are some times where you just go, yeah, he's really good still. Do you know he's played in the playoffs for 15 consecutive seasons?
I did not know
15
that.
15 straight.
That's a lot of years.
And he was terrific yesterday. You again, know, he might just as easily stink the rest of the... I don't know. He's an enigma.
Do you know who hasn't gone to the playoffs 15 straight years?
You.
This version of the Chicago Bulls.
Thank you.
Yeah.
15 consecutive seasons James Harden has been in the postseason. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, congrats.
So I'll go with James Harden. So I think those are all pretty good nominations from what was, like you said earlier, a loaded weekend. And it's great when the NHL and the NBA start like that together. Incredible weekend of action, and you definitely need... You need multi-view on your YouTube TV. And they're doing something nice. They're actually giving you the option for an NHL and an NBA playoff game.
They are letting you double
dip. At the same time.
They are letting you double dip. Yes, they are.
I like very much, Yurko. So it was good. So there are our players of the weekend brought to you by the Marquee Network. The White Sox are right back at it tonight here on your home for the Sox. They start a four-game series in Minneapolis against the Twins. So that'll be a 6 o'clock pregame. Crosstalk in about 35 with Waddle and Sylvie. I want to play some AK sound during the 2 o'clock hour.
It's the Twins' chance to get healthy.
Well, just like the Phillies.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes.
It's Carmen and York. We're back in 2 minutes.